On the next CSI, somebody has dropped the kids off at the pool, and only David Caruso can make sure they wipe it up. On CSI Miami, what do we got?
Well, Horatio, when a police officer caught this kid trying to break into his car, the kid messed his pants.
Well, I guess the officer wasn't the only one on duty. David Caruso is following his nose to the one suspect who made a number two on CSI Miami.
Horatio, the kid's attorney is claiming the excrement found at the scene doesn't match the evidence from the suspect's shorts.
Well, I'd hate to dump the charges, but this case depends on the lab making the link to the kid and his log. David Caruso is out to scoop up the bad guys on the next CSI Miami.
Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Neighborhood Association President.
Mr. Neighborhood Association President.
You campaigned for weeks, held barbecues, shook hands, and kissed babies. Now, you are in complete control of the planned community covenants, and you rule with an iron fist.
A development dynasty.
Yes, Mr. Neighborhood Association President, you enforce fence heights, garbage container uniformity, and lawn watering schedules armed with the wisdom of King Solomon.
Is my hedge too high, Your Grace?
You even judge the holiday decorating contest.
And your house always wins, yeah.
So the next time you're digging up your mailbox post because it's 1.5 inches too short, put down your shovel and raise your arm and salute to the Sultan of Suburbia, Mr. Neighborhood Association President, a real American hero.
Mr. Neighborhood Association President.
What? No, I wasn't going to put in a pool. No, not me.
Ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to March 15th. Today is Monday. We're back live in the studio after... not a long weekend, but a...
it was good.
A good weekend. Good weekend for sure.
It was very
good.
We
had some incredible weather here Saturday.
Beautiful
and Sunday.
Weather.
And what is the thing? Not loud enough? Okay, there you go. That's why we do sound checks. Mm-hmm. But you were late for the sound check.
I was sitting here trying to wipe off
I
my fake
I guess I already
temp.
Did mine.
You're like, yeah, yours doesn't count.
So, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sam.
Welcome back from the weekend.
Yeah.
So, what's this thing with the fake tan now? Let's hear about that.
So, I ran in. You know, I'm white, and I don't want to look too white. I'd like to have color in my skin without getting wrinkles. So, I put on, like, just basically like a tan lotion. You like, basically rub the lotion in, and then it develops and adds a little color, and but then it also has like a bronzer in it, so you can see where you're rubbing it, whatever. It all sucks. It's not the best thing. You'd rather just be from Brazil.
Right.
But that's just not going to happen.
I see. Okay. So being white and everything, you probably can't get a good tan.
I mean, I could, but it takes time, and then you can damage your skin because, I mean, I don't mind getting a little bit of suntan, but I mean, to really get the color and everything that I want, it would take it beyond a healthy point for me.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I just used fake tan. So I had it all over my hands. I forgot to wash it, so I was trying to rub it in. It's incriminating, you know?
Yeah.
I can't walk around like I really have color on my legs when I've got orange hands.
That's true. So are your legs orange now?
Let's take a look. Let's see. No.
Kind of.
Yeah. Oh, kind of. Damn. Yeah. They need a good rub down. Let me rub you down. What'd you do this weekend?
So let me ask you this. A couple of people over the weekend suggested to me that I dye my hair blonde. What
they
do you
did?
Think of that? Don't you think I would look really stupid?
I don't see you as a blonde.
I know.
See you
I
as
don't
like,
either.
I like your actually. I mean, unfortunately, going back to how this is a man's world, you can men can age, and the aging looks masculine, so it doesn't look bad. Like you've got a full head of gray, yeah. But it doesn't look bad. It looks kind of clean and.
Yeah.
It looks masculine.
No, it's not that I mind it. It's just that I thought maybe I'll try something new.
I wouldn't go blonde. You're not a blonde.
I know.
No, you've got like an olive complexion. If I were you...
When I see these guys, you know, really dye their hair like almost white...
Did you have black hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, you look like you had black hair. Yeah.
Yeah,
I would do black. If you want to do it, do black.
No, I'm not going to do black. I mean, I'm going to look so stupid then, you know?
No, you wouldn't look stupid.
Yeah,
it would look natural.
All those men that dye their hair, they look stupid. You know, I really don't want to... go through that, so I just figure, you know,
it's a good color gray too. It looks kind of turn around, let me see the
it's
back.
Silvery, right?
Yeah, that's
kind
a good way
silvery,
to put it.
Yeah,
it's gem like
yeah,
but it doesn't look wiry. It looks just like, you know how some grays look wiry and
right.
kind of like it's lost its texture. It looks like regular normal hair that's
except it's too long right now because my hairdresser had surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And so she hasn't been available. So it's been like over 4 weeks. I got like tremendous growth on my head, and I don't know what to do.
Wait a minute.
So hopefully she'll be back this week.
People are telling you to go blonde? Who are these people?
Someone who actually went blonde.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was it a guy or girl?
Actually, Tony. You remember Tony?
Tony Sweet.
Tony Sweet, yeah, that came down.
He told you to go blonde?
He dyed his hair blonde. And he
but he looks really good blonde.
Yeah, he's probably, you know.
He's like a natural, like, sandy blonde. His blonde
exactly.
looks good. It looks really, like, looks very natural.
I know. I just thought, you know, blonde and spiky and everything, I might look, like, really, really strange.
I think you'd look a little douchebaggish.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You'd look a little bit too much like you're, you know, trying to be a surfer and you're not really a surfer.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. If you were, like, to dye hair like mine,
mm-hmm.
would the white hair get the dye as well, or is it just the black?
You mean, well, the lighter
I mean,
parts of your hair are going to be more, the lighter parts are going to
be
a brighter
lighter,
color.
Right?
So,
yeah, but they're not going to be white, right?
If you were to dye your hair blonde?
Right.
Well, I don't know because, see, your hair is gray, so I think what happens is it's more about depositing color as opposed to lifting it. Like, lifting the hair color means you're bleaching out the color.
Right.
So then you deposit color in it.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes, like, if you go darker, then you're really not bleaching it. You're actually depositing color. You're covering it up.
Right.
And in your case, your hair is actually light. It's just gray. So if you were to put blonde, you'd actually be depositing color to give it a color.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's not a technical answer, but I think that would be...
Yeah, I better stay away from that. And
I mean,
myself the way I am.
When they say blondes have more fun, I think they're thinking more about women.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's not like I was looking for more fun.
You know?
I'm just looking for something different. I don't know.
Well,
women always get to change their look, you know?
Yeah, well,
and men
you know.
Usually don't.
Then freaking dye it. See, well, you know what? Maybe you can do a cool, like, punk kind of look.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see you as a punk kind of guy.
I know.
Like surfer
kind of
punk.
It's so unlike me, huh?
It doesn't seem like your look.
Yeah.
But maybe try it for fun. I mean, if you want to go natural, definitely go black because that's your color.
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah.
I just don't see you really being that into your hair either way.
Yeah.
You don't seem like a hair guy.
No, I'm not.
But thank God you got it, right?
Yeah, thank goodness.
Most guys lose their hair by your age.
So what do you mean it doesn't look like I'm into my hair? Well, how
you just don't seem like a metrosexual.
What does that mean?
You don't know what a metrosexual is?
Yes, I do. But how do they look?
Well, they're very, 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 like, groomed. And,
right.
I mean, you look clean cut. Like
I'm extremely groomed, believe me.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm just
but
saying.
But it's just, I'm telling you, my hair is
you
not,
don't have the vein
it's not
look.
Up to date.
Yeah, well, it just looks like hair. It doesn't look like it's, you know. What's it supposed to look like?
Like hair.
Yeah, there you go. You're doing great. It's hair. It looks natural. It looks fine. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if you wanted to maybe get a different look and try a different color, I'd say go see a professional and maybe bring pictures of what you'd like. You know, you always want it to still be like kind of age appropriate.
Maybe get some highlights or something, you know, in black, you know, not to do it all black and maybe it'll look more natural.
You mean maybe put some under, it's called low light. So maybe put some black, like a salt and pepper look with your hair. You could do that.
Yeah. Just
you
make
know?
It darker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, I think you're looking fine, but if you want to go crazy, maybe go purple.
Yeah.
Go
there
purple.
You go. I should, huh?
Do some fun.
Can you imagine what I would look like in purple?
Be kind of cool.
Yeah, really.
It'd kind of give you like an edgy, kind of like punk rocker look.
Yeah.
But no, metrosexuals are guys that are like dressed impeccable, very, very, very well groomed, but it's almost overkill. Like, it's too fashionable, in my opinion. Some girls love metrosexuals, but it's a little overkill, in my opinion.
Right.
It's like, to me, I think a man should be a man. And if you know, both fighting for the mirror, that's not cool.
Right. So now you're naturally light hair too.
Yeah,
right?
I do lighten my hair, but it's naturally blonde.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like a sandy kind of color, but I pimp it out a bit.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, blonde looks good on you, I think, you know.
Yeah, it's my natural coloring. I was born blonde, and you know.
Yeah.
So I just keep it light.
Keep it blonde.
Keep it blonde, you know. Everybody's got a different preference though.
Yeah.
Blondes, I love being blonde because it's my color, but I also love I think it is very bright and light and fun. However, I think that if you're brunette, and there's different kinds of coloring, but like, you know, your exotic looks, like your Brazilian women with really tan olive skin and then, you know, the dark kind of sun-kissed dark hair, you know, mm-hmm. I think that's really beautiful. And then you have girls that have really dark hair and pale skin and like light blue eyes. That's really pretty too.
Right.
There's all different kinds of beauty. And I think that the different kinds of beauty attract different kinds of men.
Right.
Like, I think I personally am not, I don't really like the kind of guys that I attract, but I'm not willing to go dark.
Right.
So I have to kind of live with it.
Yeah.
But they kind of like blonde, like the, you know, big boobs, but you know, like big boobs,
blonde hair.
Yeah, that look, that blonde, big boob look. Yeah. I can't talk. I think it attracts a certain kind of like guy that I don't necessarily not like that kind of guy, but I kind of like a lot of different kinds of guys, and it seems like I don't attract the guy that's a little bit more, like, I don't know. I think that a lot of more artistic guys like more of a dark, mysterious look.
Oh, really?
I think more of your beer drinking, kind of like rugged, like guys that are kind of dumbasses. Mm. I think they like blondes more.
Really?
Hey, she's got blonde hair and big boobs. I like her a lot. She's real hot. You know, that kind of thing. And I mean, clearly there's something in the middle. There's guys that are like,
it's totally a blanket statement, but
talking about like the overwhelming kind of predominant thing, you know. It's, I mean, there's clearly all different types of guys.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But I tend to find like more the meatheads like that, and, you know, and like the artistic guys or in bands or whatever. They like usually like, or like, I don't know, quirky guys. Like, I don't really like quirky guys, but I like them as friends. But
do you get hit on a lot?
I do, yeah.
You do, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So how does that make you feel? I mean,
it's always flattering. I mean, it's never. I'm not the hottest girl in the world, but I'm attractive, and I think there's different kinds of getting hit on because. First of all, we're in Los Angeles, and it's the sexual climate here is so, the cultural climate is significantly different than when I go to Texas or any other part of the country or the world, I bet, you know. There's, because sex sells and because everybody's in, or most people are in the entertainment industry, everything is kind of in your face, and so there's this vibe that everything's free game. Like, everybody's just much more, I think, aggressive, and it's straight to the point. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So there's that. So by default, I think being a woman in Los Angeles, you're going to get a lot of attention.
Right.
Just being a woman sometimes.
Yeah, but many women do not get hit on a lot, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Because it's not only the way you look, but your demeanor, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to show that you're accessible, you know?
Well, I think the kind of hitting on that I get, too, it's not always... it's not always something I'd brag about. They're not always like winners, you know.
Yeah,
they're not always like hot, you know, successful, articulate, you know, you know, God-loving men that I'd go, oh my gosh. They're, you know, it's just kind of your basic, you know, guy. It's just different.
So it makes a difference to you who flatters you and who hits on you.
Well, I mean, it's all. I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, it's all flattering. I mean, I even make a joke that when I go jogging in front of a construction site with tons of Mexican men, that not that there's anything wrong being Mexican, but you know, there's this way they look
but
at.
They
women.
Do, and the
well, they
calls
ogle. And, they really ogle. They look at a woman like they've never seen a woman before, and it's creepy. It's,
right.
I've worked in restaurants where like they're all Hispanic, they look at you like.
I know. And they just stare, you know?
It's like a weird, creepy stare. It's not like, oh, girl, looking at you, or like, oh, you know, it's like, foaming at their mouth. It's freaking weird.
Yeah.
However, I will admit, even when you, you know, the day that you walk by a construction site and you don't get hoot and hollered, I'd feel depressed.
Really?
Yeah, I'd be like, what the hell's wrong with me? You know, because that's just like your basic, like, they just like any woman, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and then there's, but I don't really get, I mean, I do get asked out, but not as much as I get flirted with or catcalls or something like that.
Right, right.
The guys that really step up to the plate to ask you out are not as frequent as, like, the amount of attention I get. Does
right.
that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I go into this coffee shop and, you know, I know some of the people that are there and the regulars and, you know, as soon as you walk in, and it's not just me. Again, it's a lot of women, but, you know, you just feel all eyes on you and you just, I try not to engage too much in conversation because if I'm not interested on that level, you never know if a guy is going to be cool with just having a conversation. He may think of it as an opportunity and want to ask you out.
Right.
But it's just, you know, you just kind of play around with it. But it's fun. I mean, I like it.
Yeah, so you enjoy the attention for
yeah,
the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I don't find it to be, I mean, there's always going to be sometimes that there's something offensive, you know.
Right.
But for the most part, I mean, I'm pretty self-assured and I'm pretty, I hate to say dominant, but I'm pretty in control. Mm. So even when guys are giving me attention, I feel like I'm the one that still is controlling how far it goes. And
right. Well, that's because you're a woman. I mean, women are the gatekeepers.
Well, some women are more passive and they just giggle. I'm the one that, like, if I don't want to talk to the guy, I shut it down. Or if I do want to talk to him and he's showing interest, I'm the one that can kind of be the... I'm funny, you know?
Right.
I know how to, like, manipulate it and have a conversation and make it fun.
Right.
But occasionally there'll be like, you know, it's rare to meet, like, get hit on and be asked out by like a great guy.
I see. Okay.
I just don't think that happens that often.
Because there are not that many of them.
No,
you know?
I don't know. It's like, I don't know. Or maybe they're insecure. Or maybe they're not attracted. I don't know.
It's not that. I mean, sometimes you just figure, you know, that, you know, give this woman some room or whatever, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, maybe she doesn't want to be hit on, you know.
Yeah, or I'll meet, like, I've worked on set where, oh my gosh, I met this really awesome, attractive, sexy, really funny guy, and we were working together, and we were talking, and just joking, and he's so cool, and he's, like, married with a kid. So it's one of those things where it's, like, sometimes you meet those guys, and they've already been in that world, and they're doing that part of their life already.
Yeah.
You're like, damn. And I'm not a homewrecker by any means, so, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, that happens a lot, too. You're like, man, all these awesome guys are totally married up.
Yeah.
Kids.
What are you going to do, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll find someone, yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing cool. I'm pretty okay with it. Yeah.
And if you don't find anyone, there's always a polygamist or something you can find.
Oh, no.
Which brings us to the guest today. We're going to have in a few minutes a guest who grew up in a polygamous family. And she's the 23rd child of a 46-child family, if you can imagine.
So,
46
know,
kids.
I'm going to, yeah.
Yeah. So.
That gets under my skin right away.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good. So you'll have a lot of questions to ask her.
Yeah, I want to be really sensitive to her story because I'm sure that I always want to ask questions.
Yeah, because it's... you know, I think everybody's curious about their lifestyle. I know I am, you know.
Yeah.
And
now she broke free, though. This is what I was reading.
Yeah, exactly.
She got out. And,
yeah, she got out, and she lived to tell about
it. I'm sure there's so many different layers to what that must be like, you know, going through something where, you know, there's the sexual element, there's the family element, there's the alienation element.
Right.
There's probably so many different, because it's not just the physical, it's the cult.
Right.
Yeah.
But you want to talk about a man's world, there's where everything is about the man in that kind of
That's why
society,
I think it's a man-made religion, yeah.
I mean, you know, for a man to marry four, five, six women, and it's got to be, you've got to be pretty, you know, fucking conceited, you know, to feel that you can please all these people, you know?
That's a sober way to put it, Sam.
Yeah.
I applaud you. Because even some men would be like, I mean, they wouldn't do it, but they'd be like, they'd still think of it as like, I'm the man.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, the way you put it was like, how do I think I can please all these women? A lot of times men don't care about pleasing women,
right.
You know?
That's true.
I mean, the guy that I was dating and I broke up with recently, he is a great guy, like great character. Really is a cool guy. I was really kind of coming out of left field, but he'd been so babied his whole life by his mom and his dad, and he's like the star of the family, that it started to get to where he was very expectant. You know, we were like newly dating, and I had him over for dinner one time, and right. he wanted me to take his shoes off for him.
Really?
I'm like,
wow.
Screw you. Like, I was like, are you kidding me? We're like a few months in, uh-huh. and he wants me to take his shoes off.
Yeah.
There's just something about that. Like, you don't initiate that. You let somebody offer to do that.
That's
because
true.
It's a submissive role.
Yeah.
If somebody does something for you submissively where they want to nurture you, take care of you, or something like that, they need to offer, and you don't need to ask. And I just don't handle that shit well.
Yeah, I know
yeah.
what you mean.
Yeah. But he was really concerned more with his being pleased.
Yeah. How are you feeling with the clock change? I mean, I'm
feeling early.
Really? Me
I'm
too.
I'm feeling like I didn't get enough coffee.
I'm feeling I didn't get enough sleep, for crying out
what
loud.
What did you do this weekend? Did you get like some sunbathing on your porch done or what?
No, why? Do I look tan?
Well, no, you told me, you said, I don't know what, you said, I think I might go out and do something, I may
yeah,
not.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we had some friends in town and we went out.
Oh, really?
Things like that. So
where'd
that
you guys
was
go?
Fun. We went to an Israeli restaurant for dinner.
Really? What,
yeah.
what kind of food, again, is that?
It's all kinds.
It
you
is
know?
All kinds?
I mean, yeah, you get food on skewers, you know,
ooh.
Like lamb or beef or chicken
uh-huh.
or anything you can think of. And then, like, millions of salads, millions of different kinds of salads, you know?
Oh, really?
That you dip into with a pita bread and,
oh,
you
okay.
know, and all kinds of pickles and olives and,
mm-hmm.
you know, all that kind of stuff.
That's good.
Yeah.
Did they have baba ganoush?
They have that too.
I just like saying that. Baba ganoush.
Yeah.
Baba ganoush.
They have that too. And I don't even know what language that's in, you know, because
baba ganoush.
A lot of the food that you eat in the Middle East is eaten in many different countries, you know, so.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
so,
like.
So it's more like Mediterranean.
Shawarma. You know? Do you guys have shawarma?
Yeah, shawarma is more like Israeli and stuff.
It's
you know?
So good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we love shawarma. Are you kidding?
A shawarma is called?
Shawarma.
It's not shawarma?
Shawarma, okay, whatever.
Oh, I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
I just wanted to pronounce it right.
Oh, it's, yeah.
So you guys went to an Israeli restaurant and
yeah.
had a good time.
We had a good time, yeah. And what else did I do? You know, I had to just work, you know. I mean, it's not exciting. My weekends are not exciting. If I get to relax a little bit and not have to work and stuff, then I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know. And, of course, I used to spend every Saturday with my son. But now that he's got a car and a girlfriend and a bunch of friends, doesn't happen anymore.
No.
Yeah,
aww.
It's tough. It's tough seeing your kids grow up, you
That's
know?
That's got to be hard, huh?
Yeah.
Do you find yourself calling him and asking him to do stuff and he says no, or is it
no,
just he does
no.
the phone doesn't ring?
We just have like a you know, like a standing every week.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we see each other every Tuesday. We spend a few hours together and that's it, you know? So I'm grateful for that.
And then Saturdays, he's off.
Yeah, he's like off with his friends and everything.
What about your daughter? She's in school?
My daughter is, she goes to college.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but I don't see much of her, no.
Is she local or no? I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah, she's local.
But still on the weekend, she's doing her own thing.
Yeah, even during the week, she's doing her own thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
And does she live on campus or?
No, she lives at home.
Okay.
Yeah.
With her mom, not with you guys, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's a pretty painful thing because she sort of, like, chose to, you know, to not talk to me as much, you know. But
oh, really?
Yeah. But it's better than it used to be. I mean, now we talk and things like that, you know. But
yeah.
It's just, it's very infrequent when we go out and stuff, you know.
Is it weird when you guys are together or no?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah.
You
so
know,
it's not
I mean,
like...
we've always been so close, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's just that... I think she's been poisoned a little bit by her mom, you know.
That's tough.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't like when parents use their kids as leverage. And I mean, my mom's married.
And she always promised she wouldn't, you know. But then, you know what? The bottom line is people do what they see at home, you know.
Yeah.
And she repeated the same pattern, my ex-wife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So your daughter picked up kind of what she saw.
Yeah, yeah. Like demonize the father, get closer to the stepfather, you know, all these kind of things.
So divorce sucks, huh?
Yeah, it really does, you know?
On so many different levels, right?
I think after death, divorce is probably the worst thing anybody can go through, you know?
Mm.
You're destroying a family,
mm.
you know, and it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy to do that after you build it up. And even, you know, you don't get along anymore, but it's still, it's a family, it's a unit, and you're breaking it up, you know? So, yeah, it's very hard. I don't wish that on anyone.
Yeah.
Get divorced, you know. And yet so many people do, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's much easier when you don't have kids, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Know? But I was going to stay with her just for the kids, but everybody told me don't do it, you know.
Oh, really?
Because it's not a good reason to stay with someone for the kids, because then the kids suffer too. Because it's not a healthy environment. You know?
It is tough. I mean, I don't know what I would do. I mean, I think, I mean, obviously, I hope I would do the best thing, but you never know. I mean, if you're in a loveless marriage and your kids are seeing that, that's not a good example to them what a romantic relationship should look like.
Right.
At the same time, divorcing and separating the family, you said it yourself, that there's so many consequences that are built into that, where it just breaks up the unit and the mother father roles are divided and you know
you see, I mean, the unit would break up anyway, because what happens is you have two people that don't get along.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so after a while they just can't stand to be with each other, and if they do stay, then there's a lot of resentment and hate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I think people should have a way out. You know, it's not an easy way out by any means.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a way out from a lifetime of, like you said, a loveless marriage.
Yeah.
You know.
Was it irreconcilable?
Irreconcilable, yeah.
Just one of those places.
We actually tried twice. I mean, after seven years, we got back together for another three.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I really wanted to live with the kids again.
Mm.
But you see, that was for the wrong reason. That's why.
What was the number one reason with your ex-wife that you were like, you couldn't be with her?
She was just too self-involved, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, you know, just not emotionally available, or just...
Yeah, I don't know. I just... you know what? I didn't enjoy being with her anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think that was a loveless marriage right there.
Yeah, well,
you
absolutely.
Know, after a while.
But you wanted to make it work. But
yeah,
it was
of
just...
course. Of course
yeah.
You do want it to work. But at a certain time, you feel, you know, shit, if we don't do something, one of us is going to cheat, and then we're going to really have problems, you know?
Yeah.
You know, because when you don't have it at home, you're going to look for it somewhere else.
Oh, you guys weren't having sex?
Well, no, I don't just mean the sex, but the emotional
connection. Well, no, you're right, yeah.
You
but I mean sexually, but and emotionally and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Intimacy
it all goes
and love,
together.
Yeah.
It all goes together,
intimacy.
You know? If you're angry at someone, mm-hmm. and you're disgusted with them, you're not going to have sex with them, you know?
Yeah.
So it kind of goes together, I think.
No, that's so true. That's so true.
Yeah.
There's so much to learn, man. I mean, I have a few friends that are married, and it's interesting to kind of watch the highs and the lows and see how they work through it and, you know,
yeah.
kind of take it all in, because nothing's going to be easy, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing is.
Yeah, I know. You ready to call our guest?
Let's give her a call.
Okay. We're going to be calling Susanna Barlow. And like we said, she's the 23rd child of of 46 children.
Mm.
This is going to be interesting.
Hello.
Yes, good morning, Susanna. This is Sam and Kara calling
good
you
morning.
From L.A.
Hi.
Hi, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, good. What part of the country are you in? Are you close
I'm
to
I'm in
us?
Utah.
Oh, you're in Utah. Okay. I guess that's fitting, right, when we talk about polygamy and stuff, that most of it probably happens in Utah.
Yes, definitely so.
That's true, right? Now, I mean, we have like so many questions for you and stuff, as you might imagine. Let us go back to the beginning. Was this like the quintessential, what we picture as a polygamous cult or group, or what was it like?
Well, I think in some ways it probably does fit the stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
And in many other ways it was very different. I didn't grow up in a compound.
Right.
I didn't grow up with a community of people who all lived and practiced polygamy together.
Right.
I actually grew up right in the middle of the city.
Oh, I see.
And I had neighbors on either side of me that we were all very much afraid of.
Uh-huh.
And so even though we met together with other families who were living in the city who were practicing polygamy in secret,
right,
we did meet together for church services and other functions.
I see.
Well, then let me ask you, Susanna. First of all, thank you for sharing your story. This is so interesting, and I'm sure there's takes a lot of courage to you know, go there and open yourself up to, you know, questions and everything. So I do appreciate that. I wanted to ask you, being in Utah, living in a city, I'm still trying to visually and for our listeners paint a picture of what that looks like. You are the 23rd child, right?
Uh-huh.
Of 46 other children.
Mm-hmm.
And how many different mothers were there?
Well, most of those children were born to three.
Oh.
Three mothers.
Between three mothers, we're looking at, can you do the math?
So, the average here is about 14 kids, right? Each.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
My mother had 13, another mother had 16, and then another mother, I think, had like 12.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow.
And then my father married three widows who had a few children with him as well.
I see.
And this is all the same man.
Uh-huh.
Okay, just making sure, because this is a little different.
Yeah.
Make sure I get my numbers straight. So Susanna, when you lived in the city, did you guys live in an apartment, and if you, or was it a house, and did all 14 of your siblings immediate from the mother live with you guys?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we lived all in one house.
Okay.
Right. How did you all fit in that house?
It wasn't easy. I mean, I shared a room with, at one point, up to eight people.
Wow.
Eight siblings.
So there was never any time where you had some privacy, I would imagine.
Bathroom usually afforded a few minutes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But for the most part, no, there was no privacy. The concept of privacy didn't even really exist in a household that large.
So there's a lot of emphasis on family, obviously. It's not all, full of negatives and stuff. Obviously, you have family values, however unusual they are. And
oh, absolutely, and it laid a strong foundation for families in spite of the abusive aspects.
Mm.
Right.
I have some of my very closest friends are my sisters.
Yeah.
Of which I have, two dozen.
Wow.
Wow, isn't that interesting?
Can you even keep track of everybody and their names? God.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Sure.
That's a lot of people.
Your other brothers and sisters from different mothers, how close did you guys live together? Because I'm thinking about, I'm sure you've seen Big Love on HBO, right?
Uh-huh.
And I think of this. The houses are all next to each other, and the dad takes different turns being at the different houses, and then in the backyard they have like a big,
shared area.
Yeah,
it was first of all, in Big Love, they only have just a few children.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of odd for trying to depict polygamy, where children are such an important part of the religious thinking.
Yeah.
And so that is priority. The only reason a man would take that many women is to produce as much offspring as he possibly could.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
That's the fundamental purpose.
Right.
And so that I always found a little bit odd. But we lived all in a single house, and I didn't see any difference between one mother's child and my own blood biological siblings. I never even considered it.
So all three of the families
right next to each other.
Okay, but all three of the families, they lived in the same house, or that's what I'm trying to get at, or three different houses?
All in the same house.
Oh, so my gosh, so 46 of you guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, plus the parents. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Or the father,
was this a huge house?
Well, it was probably big by normal standards, but it wasn't in any way big enough to house that many people.
No, right. That's like a hotel.
There was always a sister sleeping on the couch. There were, brothers who had to sleep on the floor.
Right.
There was never enough room for everyone.
So now, how did the family support itself? I can imagine the father couldn't have possibly made enough money to support all these people.
Well, no, he didn't, but he was very firm about not using government support. So unlike a lot of people who exploit the welfare system, and that my dad was insistent that he provide for us, however meager that might be. And so we were quite poor, and when I was young, he sent one of his wives to work. And so between my father and one of the wives,
right,
they supported the family.
Oh my gosh.
And it was tough. Food was rationed, and we didn't, I never had new clothes in my life until I was an adult.
Right.
I didn't think that it was poverty, but now that I have my family, my own family,
yeah,
I can tell that he definitely struggled to keep food on the table.
Yeah. What was his, I guess I have so many questions, I don't really know where to start, but his line of business, what did he do, And going back to the welfare situation, although part of that probably was the principle behind it, he probably couldn't at the same time, right? Because it would have exposed you guys?
Well, what they would do is they would have the women that were not his legal wives sign up for government assistance as single mothers.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
And then each one of them would get government assistance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and he wasn't for that.
Yeah, and a lot of people were doing it. Mm. And a lot of people were doing quite well exploiting the system that way. And, you know, as a matter of principle, he wanted to the pride of knowing he had provided for his own family.
Mm. Right. Now, did you see any rivalry among the mothers?
They kept a lot of their rivalries behind doors. Mm. So as a kid, I knew there was conflict. I knew that there was strain and stress and tensions. But I didn't actually witness what those were about. Mostly I saw in their faces. And as a child, you're a lot more intuitive and perceptive than adults give.
Right. Oh, I totally agree. Children. Yeah. Right. I grew up in crazy too, so I was able to pick up on some stuff, and you know, before your brain can understand it, you just know something's off.
They thought they were hiding it.
Yeah.
And they were only hiding the details.
Wow.
Yeah. So God, there's so many questions.
I know, I'll jump in. So yeah. Susanna, and if anything, you know, is too personal, feel free to shut it
well,
down.
Well, she wrote a book.
She wrote a book, yeah.
Yeah,
but
there you go.
How much more personal can it get?
I know. Yeah, exactly. Well, I guess my questions for you are, let's go to the abuse segment. Mm-hmm. You talked about how, although there were family values that you know, gained from having such a huge family, the abuse probably took on many different levels and from different people. I'm assuming it could have been from your father to your mothers to even possibly siblings or outsiders. What does that mean? Because it is kind of broad.
Well, in my family, and I don't speak for polygamy as a whole.
Okay.
But in my family, one of my father's wives became like a matriarch.
Okay, yeah.
Over everyone.
Got
and
it.
Abused the other wives and definitely abused all of us children.
All the children.
And in what way?
So there was, physical beatings, severe beatings.
Really?
Not just your run-of-the-mill discipline.
Right.
There was starvation, intentional starvation as a means of punishment.
Mm.
Wow.
Yes. You know, different forms of neglect that were intentional. All of it was done under the guise of discipline rather than just a chaotic, crazy household. It was a very calculated, planned, and premeditated kind of environment.
Right. Now, my question is this, is that, you know, obviously these mothers find it, they agree to live in secret, let's say, because obviously, I mean, did your neighbors and stuff know that this was going on, that you were a really big family?
Well, I know that they did know, even though our parents tried very hard to keep it a secret.
Right.
They did everything they could to disassociate themselves from any kind of legal recrimination.
Right.
And one of the methods that they used was they did not supply us with birth certificates.
Oh.
And we were born at home. And so if you did have a birth certificate for some of the kids that were born in hospitals, then the birth certificate was falsified.
Wow.
So many of us were given false names and had a false father on our birth certificate.
Right.
And so that prevented anyone from having any kind of proof that there were children living there who weren't attending school, who, you know, for neighbors to be able to turn my parents in.
Right. So what was the motive for the mothers to get into an arrangement like this? I mean, most women obviously would like to have just one partner, and anything else would throw off the balance. What was the reasoning for the women to get into this? I mean, obviously they were not
like
coerced
the benefit,
into
usually
it,
it's
right?
Like they're like children though, right?
Well, right, that's part of it. But I think what a lot of people miss when they think about the topic of polygamy is that these women were born in it, and possibly their parents were born in it, and even their parents were born in it. And so if you're raised having 3 to 7 to 20 mothers, you're going to grow up and you're going to perpetuate the same sort of lifestyle.
Right.
And if you don't even think about it, you'll probably be placed in an environment that you're familiar with and comfortable with. And so it was just a way of life. They didn't really think, I'm choosing to practice this lifestyle.
Did they probably even think they had a choice, huh? They probably didn't even think that the choice was involved?
Well, I think some of them did. And it was like you could marry a single man, but there was always the option that man was going to take further wives. You always seen yourself as either a first wife or one of other numbers. You were never the only wife.
Right.
You were always thinking in the back of your mind that I'm one of many.
Right.
They never even conceived of monogamy. It wasn't even on their radar, not because they felt they didn't have a choice, but because that was all that they knew.
Right. So now this begs the question now, how did you get out of the situation that you're able to talk to us about it today and you're like, quote unquote, a free woman? How did this come about and at what age?
Well, I think that the abuse actually helped me recognize other aspects of control and force that I felt were not right. And had the abuse not been there, had I lived in this perfectly happy, functioning family, I would probably still be, you know, someone's, I would probably end up being someone's third or fourth wife.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it was the unhappiness and the misery that caused me to question all these other doctrines that I had been raised with. And can we really abuse our children in the name of God?
Yeah.
And if God's supporting that, and He's also supporting, you know, multiple wives, you know, I started to see that there were some inconsistencies, and that caused me to question.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I married into the religion, so I married a man who believed the same that I did.
Uh-huh.
We were both raised in polygamous families, and about a year into that marriage, he came to me and said, I've had enough of this.
Wow.
And he wanted to leave. He felt that his religion had betrayed him.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so at that point, was it just you as the wife?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep, so it was just the two of us and a child at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we both just sort of inched our way away from the community. We didn't change our dress or any of that because we didn't really know what we wanted now.
Right. Yes, I mean, everybody has to keep in mind that you are isolated, really, from the outside world. And to be able to come up with these thoughts and to actually be able to question, I think, is unusual. And, you know, and it shows that I think you somehow, deep inside of you, you found that force, that ability to think on your own.
Right, and I think that being in a restricted environment actually fueled the flames of desire for freedom.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
What about your siblings? And, you know, again, I'm going back to movies I've seen and in some documentaries, and your situation is your situation. So we're talking about 46 children, is that correct? Between three different mothers and one father. How often did you see your dad?
Well, I saw him every night because we did live in the same household. But, you know, I saw him.
Yeah, but did you guys talk?
I didn't interact with him. We usually, there was a ritual of whenever he walked in the house, every child in that house would run to him and hug him.
Wow.
And he would dote on everybody for a few minutes. We loved him.
Mm-hmm.
He was not a frightening or intimidating figure in our life.
Okay.
He was more of the anchor.
Mm-hmm.
That kept us going, and he would leave and work so many long hours, and we're left home alone with this woman that was running everything and manipulating and controlling the whole environment.
Was he aware of all the physical abuse, and what did he do anything about it? Did he say anything, or did he not care?
For many years, I think it was a coping mechanism. I was absolutely certain that he had no idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was only as I reached maturity that I realized he did know and had known about it and was probably didn't know what to do about it.
Yeah.
And was afraid to confront it for fear it might explode and reach some kind of legal consequence
yeah.
for him and the whole family. And then he also believed very strongly in maintaining and keeping the marriage between all these women.
Mm-hmm.
That was more important to him than the children.
Right. Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. So so you came out of this and you came up with your book, and let's see, what's the name of the book there? What Peace There May Be. And when did you write the book?
I actually wrote the book after I had had five children
mm-hmm.
and was far enough away from the community of people I'd been raised with and had just enough experiences with the outside world for me to begin to see my past in a light in which I could talk about.
Mm. Right.
And I'd done a lot of healing of the abusive, and it felt like the secret, not only the secret of growing up in a polygamous home, but the secret of being abused and never being able
to talk about it,
having it acknowledged openly, not
right.
in our family and not on a wider scale.
Right.
And so for me, the book was that cathartic experience of acknowledgement.
Does your... you said, you know, some of your closest friends are your sisters and brothers. Now, they know about the book. What do they think? And have you been excommunicated from this? Like, where are they, you know?
Well, most of my family is very supportive because they all experienced it in
right.
varying degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And the family has, to some extent, I won't say they actually cut me off or disowned me or anything, but I am a very uncomfortable person for them to interact with.
Right.
So you still see the mothers?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and
well,
so...
Well, my mother mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, I'll go visit her personally, but I'm not real comfortable taking my kids around and interacting in a real intimate way with any of them.
Right.
I just kind of imagine, like, as you're going through this situation and you've experienced this abuse... and then you come into that place of now you have more insight, you're mature, you're able to call abuse what it is, and you're able to say, oh, no, this is manipulation, this is perversion of God, this isn't really God. And you get to this place where you're empowered and you're thinking for yourself and you start on this book. Did you at any point either want to or act on trying to go back there and punch one of the ladies? I'm sorry, because I'm a little pissed.
Oh,
I'm
no,
just thinking, you know when you get older and you're like, wait a minute, bitch has it coming. She has it coming.
Right.
You want to take a broomstick to her. You want to go, oh, you know what? Who's hungry
right.
now? I'm not saying that's the way you should do it, because that's not right. But I'm just curious, did you ever have any confrontation in your adult life going back?
I never allowed myself to be around my family during the period and the process of my healing in which I was raging angry.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's smart.
I wouldn't even go near them because I felt I would have, you know, there would have been blood.
Yeah.
I was so furious when I had my own children.
Mm.
That's what did it for me.
Right.
Holding my infant in my arms and feeling that powerful sense of protection a mother has
mm.
for her child
mm. right.
and feeling the love and the innocence.
Wow.
And thinking that I was that infant in some woman's arm.
Right.
I was that innocent person. And this abuse, this arbitrary cruelty, was perpetrated against an innocent
mm.
child.
Right.
And I had never had that perspective until I had my own children. And so I was extremely furious and filled with a great deal of rage and revenge, but I recognized that it was part of the healing process.
Yeah, and it's not bad to get angry. If that's the pathway to healing, it's a part of the pathway. Well, did
right.
you experience sexual abuse from the mothers or siblings or father? I don't know.
Brothers. There was a lot of sexual abuse
mm-hmm.
in the whole environment.
Mm-hmm. Right. You have that many kids together, yeah, you would expect it, I think.
Right, and that's exactly what it was, is it had a domino effect.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you have actually generations of siblings who ended up perpetrating sexually against one another mm-hmm. from one generation to the next.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my oldest brother is nearly 20 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And I'm just right in the middle of the family. And so I have a brother right now who's 6 years old.
Wow.
And I also have a brother who is 56.
Wow.
Jeez.
Your husband, now, the man that you married, I thought like when girls hit like 13 or 14, they were married off. What age were you married?
I didn't get married till I was 20.
Really? So your family wasn't trying to marry you off to an older man?
No, I think no. I mean that there was definitely men that came around when I was around 15, 16, asking for me.
And what stopped all that?
Well, my father was more in the thinking that the girl should have some choice in the matter.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So he didn't force us.
Right.
To marry. And if you were a very spirited girl, then he really didn't force you. If you were an extremely passive girl and you went to him and said, would you please tell me who I'm supposed to marry?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which there were some who felt that way, who felt that they couldn't think for themselves and they needed the guidance of a male leader.
Right.
They could go to him and he would help them find a mate.
Right.
But and there were a lot of men who were that liberal. That it wasn't uncommon. There were some girls who got married young.
Mm.
But
mm-hmm.
for in my all my experience and all my interactions, I never knew anybody who was married younger than 15.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And even 15 was considered young, mm-hmm. but not unheard of.
Right.
Your husband, what age was he when you guys got married?
He was 23 and I was 20. And
okay.
I insisted, my dad kept coming to me saying, don't you think we need to bump you out of the nest?
Right.
You know, that was his nice way of saying, uh-huh. you know, you're getting on in age and we probably ought to marry you off.
Right.
And I said, no, I'm not ready.
Right.
And well, he respected that.
Yeah.
And so when I was ready at 20, I went to him and said, okay, I'm ready to get married now.
Yeah.
And he didn't pass you on to an older guy. He found you the 23-year-old, or did you find the 23-year-old?
I wanted to marry the 23-year-old because I was aggressive in my approach. I went to him and said, here's the guy I want to marry. Can you make the arrangements?
Right.
Because I wasn't allowed to date or talk to him or anything. So he had to go to the young man's father and right. tell him that I was interested, and then he would go to his son and say, this girl wants to marry you. How do you feel about that? Right. And then everything would be negotiated that way.
So
So I knew that it either was going to be my choice or it was going to be someone else's choice. And I wanted to take control over that part of my life.
Right. So your father was a reasonable man. I mean, I don't think he set out to break the law. And he was just merely following his tradition and his upbringing and his family and his culture, you know. And,
that's right.
Yeah. Well, Susanna, we're talking to Susanna Barlow, of course. The book is What Peace There May Be. And do you have a website also that people can go to?
I do. I have a website with articles and other radio interviews that I download onto a page and lots of things to read and look at. It's SusannaBarlow.com.
Okay, SusannaBarlow.com. Any final thoughts, Kira?
Well, thank you so much for sharing, Susanna. I do have a couple quick questions, unless we need
okay.
to wrap it up. So now, I mean, you've been married to the same man now?
Uh-huh.
And the bond that you guys have, is it, well, I guess the fact that you're still married speaks for itself, that it's still strong and legit. I guess because
very
I thought...
Very deep.
Very deep. And then when you guys were married at that age and he wanted to get out, where did you guys live?
Well, we didn't leave our home or anything. We just continued living the way that we were living. We just stopped attending church services.
Okay, but you still lived in with other couples and stuff?
No, we lived in our own home.
Oh, you lived in your own home. Okay, and I guess my last question for you is, going through the faith that you went through and really thinking for yourself and digging at it all, where are you now with God, if you, in your perspective on your faith?
Well, I really delved into a lot of other religions in my quest to understand my relationship to God and what that was all about. And I found out that everything that I need is inside of me, including that connection to God. And I didn't need an outward organization to provide that for me. And so I was able to leave them all. You know, I respect them and what they offer, but I found what I needed within myself.
Right.
Okay.
Well, and that's a way to end a very nice interview. Susanna Barlow, the book is What Peace There May Be. The website is susannabarlow.com. All the best to you, Susanna. Congratulations on the book. Everybody go get one. And
thank you so much.
Of course, and thank you for sharing all that with us. I think a lot of people are curious about this kind of lifestyle, and I think you brought it up brought it out in the open for people really to understand what it is you guys go through.
You know. I hope so.
Yeah. Okay, Susanna, all the best to you, and thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
So, yeah, that was very interesting, huh?
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that's very unusual. We're not used to that, you know. It's so different from how we live. And then you suddenly have this like little this little place where people live totally differently from us, you know.
I think it's you know, I always say, or what I think is, that you can put things very eloquent. You can manipulate, control, you can do whatever. But at the heart of the matter is the heart. It's really like, where is the heart of things? And I like how she said, after a while, she started thinking, how does any of this behavior line up with God?
Right, right.
How does any of this kind of abuse and control and neglect line up with God's character?
Right.
And that was from a very personal place. It wasn't definitely what she wasn't taught. It was just her instinct as being a human,
right,
to know God doesn't want you to hurt each other and abuse each other and in His name do all this stuff. And I think that's really interesting. And I think when you have any kind of faith or religion that's wrapped up around, you know, consumption and, you know, the more wives, the more children, this, I think that's man-made.
Yeah.
I really do. I think it's selfish.
Okay. Well, you know, I have to agree. There's a lot of selfishness in that, but again, you know, you have to put it all in context. And when people are born into it and they don't know anything else,
well, that's with anything, right?
You
people
know?
Are not in necessarily polygamy, but they're born into abuse, and then they become, you know, predators. And you know, like her father, although I understood what she was saying, it wasn't like he was out to harm anybody. So psychologists would call a passive perpetrator, because even though he wasn't the predator, he was still passively sitting by and allowing it to happen and enabling it.
Right.
And so that's just as, in my book, as guilty.
Yeah.
Because
he had
the power.
He broke a lot of laws, obviously.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, I think it's just by the fact that you're putting 48 people, 50 people in the same house has got to be some kind of an abuse, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know, and letting them live in poverty.
Did you see Did you see when, I think it was like a year ago, they found the compound in Texas, and it was, they took all the children away, and
yeah,
it was
Waco, in Waco, Texas.
Was it Waco?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always
it was
in Waco.
Like a long time ago.
No, like a year ago.
Oh, okay.
This was,
so
I think, outside.
It
was,
okay.
No, this was outside of Dallas, I think. And they basically went in and they busted open the compound and couldn't find any of the children's legitimate papers.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah,
okay.
And they basically confiscated all the kids, and they actually had to return the kids. But it was so, and I don't really know where they are with it right now, but it was really hard because none of the men were to be found.
Yeah.
It was all women and the children. And I thought, what pussies.
Yeah.
You know what? You want to take kids and you want to molest them and you want to freaking have your own colony and you want to have parents and you want to basically rule and reign and you don't want to take any responsibility.
Right.
And now that the cameras are on and everybody's going to court, you see all these women vying because this is what they know. This is their children.
Exactly.
And they're like, give us back our kids. And it's like none of the men were to be found. And I was like, what pussies?
Yeah.
Pissed me off.
Yeah.
Pissed me off. Yeah.
Okay. Well, on that note, we're going to take a little break. We'll be back right after this.
on your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone. Commercial-free original talk, only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station.
Get back to Sam and Karen in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, and we're back. Did you hear who died today?
No, I haven't.
Actor Peter Graves. I don't know if you remember him. He was on the original Mission Impossible series. I guess it's a little before your time.
Yeah, it is, but I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah, well, you can say it now. I'll say it for you. But, yeah, he was 83 years old, and he was pretty popular. He was in the airplane movies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's this really, like, you know, he always had the silver hair and stuff, you know, so he always looked like a father figure and stuff. But when they put him in comedies like Airplane and stuff, it was really funny to see him, you know,
Do you know who died a few days ago was Corey Haim from the 80s?
Right.
80s heartthrob.
Right.
Do you remember him?
Now, you see, I never even heard of him until I saw that he died last week.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But, I mean, they say that one of his most famous movies was that movie with the kids when he was a real young child, you know?
So, oh, the Goonies?
Yeah. Was it the Goonies?
No,
it was the other one. I don't remember which one.
No, he was in tons of 80s flicks. I mean, he was like an 80s heartthrob, and I think he fell into drugs, as most of the guys did, and then he got clean. And I guess, is that how he died, right? Or was it like an overdose?
They're saying that it may have been, you know, I mean, they don't want to...
oh, we don't know for sure. Okay.
For sure, yeah.
Well, we're not going to speculate then.
Yeah, we're not going to speculate at all.
Man.
But I'm trying to find out what movie he was in. Let's see. Okay, I can't find it right now. I don't want to keep you here waiting, but you know, we'll figure it out in a minute here. Filmography. Okay.
I think the listeners know.
The Lost Boys. Okay. The
Lost Boys. There he was in tons of films. I can't think of the names right now, but yeah, he was like he was an 80s icon.
He was.
He was a teen heartthrob 80s icon.
Okay. Well, maybe that explains it, because I was in my 20s then. So.
And you probably weren't looking for a heartthrob.
No, I wasn't at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you used to read all those, like, Tiger Beat and 17 magazines?
Yeah, I did. I liked all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, especially when you're growing up, you're like, oh, it's like an escape, and it's girly, and this, that, and the other.
I know. I used to be curious and look at those magazines, too.
Oh, you
did?
To
see what girls are thinking.
And what'd you get out of it?
I don't know. Just it's always about dating and that sort of thing.
So you read it,
and all the celebrities, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the time, I remember John Travolta was a big celebrity, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah, he was.
He was in Welcome Back, Kotter.
Yeah.
As Vinnie Barbarino was his name.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and that's how he started his career. And I remember he was a heartthrob. Then there was David Cassidy and his brother. And, yeah, I mean, it was a different time altogether.
I know, it's crazy,
when I was 17, yeah.
And you were in Las Vegas, right, at the age?
Yeah, exactly. Wow, you're good.
Yeah, no, I remember that. And did you try to sneak into all the clubs and stuff, or?
No, I was too young.
There wasn't a way to sneak in.
No, I never even thought of doing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, there were, like, discos and stuff for kids and, you know.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. What was it like, though, for you growing up in Las Vegas?
Well, I didn't really grow up there. I mean, you know, only about 4 years or something,
okay.
You know. But I did go to high school there for a couple of years, you know. So it was, you know, it was a good time. It really was the laid-back 70s, you know, partying all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was introduced to drugs, to marijuana and that. So those were the times, you know, Chevy vans, waterbed in the back, partying, 8-track tapes. You probably don't even know those.
Yeah, a waterbed in the back? What do you mean? Waterbed in the back of a car?
Yeah, of a van.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Why not? That's where they used to have sex, you know?
On a water...
Yeah, waterbed in the back of the van.
Did you have a waterbed in the back of your van?
I didn't have a van.
No?
But if I had, I probably would have had a waterbed in there.
That's funny. I had a waterbed when I was in high school, and it's not really good for your back.
Yeah.
It's not that great.
Yeah, no, I don't like them specifically. You know?
Yeah. It's like, who thought of this shit?
I know.
Not a good idea.
It used to be like all the rage, though, you know?
Yeah, a waterbed was kind of cool, right?
Yeah, in the 80s, 70s,
Yeah, and until you realize, you know what, it's really not good. You need some support.
Yeah.
I spent the night at my friend's house last night. I babysat, and so this morning I threw myself together at her house, and I sprayed some of her perfume on me, and I, like, want to throw up.
Really?
I put too much on it, or I just did, like, one big squirt, but it's, like, kind of fragrance I don't like.
Right.
It's actually really nice as far as, like, it's one of those nice designer perfumes, but I keep tasting it right now.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel, you know, I feel like I'm wearing somebody else's life.
Yeah, that's true. So it's not that it's a bad smell.
No, I don't like the scent.
Yeah.
I'm like, can you smell it?
No, I can't.
Good.
Now I'm thinking maybe I'm lucky that I can.
No, you're good. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you wear? Because you always have a good scent.
I wear Gucci.
Gucci.
Gucci by Gucci.
Gucci by Gucci.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, actually. I remember when I sampled it, I thought, wow, this is it, you know?
This is the one.
Yeah,
okay.
This is me, man.
Yeah. What about your wife? Does she wear perfume?
Yeah, I don't even know which one.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what matters.
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly.
Yeah.
Scents matter.
They really do. I think men, this one guy is dating, literally put too much perfume on. It was one of those, like, just too quick, you know, quick, too much. And he was like, can you go, like, rinse that off? I was so turned off. Yeah. I was embarrassed and turned off. I was like, I think I'm just going to go now.
Yeah.
I don't think I even want to hang out anymore.
Yeah.
Not that I was upset with him, but I was more like, you know, it turns the mood off. You're like, I don't want to hang out.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you're really asking me to go.
And it's sort of like rejecting something about you, you know?
Well, it was too much. It wasn't like he's rejecting me. It really was too damn much perfume.
Really?
But it's still hard to hear. You're like trying to be sexy and you're trying to be cute. And he's like, by the way, can you just, you know, rinse some of that shit off?
Yeah. So what was this whole thing on Facebook now with the lap dancing and everything?
Oh, did you see that?
I really need to hear about that.
Okay, well, I did the party. I worked for you guys that don't remember. I worked a job. As an assistant at a party. It's a private party.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. It was out here in the valley, actually, West Valley in the middle of nowhere.
Someone's house?
Yeah, really nice house. And it was a lingerie party, but it wasn't like your typical Hollywood lingerie party where, I mean, not that I've never really been to a lingerie party, but Hollywood is very like, lingerie party, bring your hottest clothes. And it's very like sexy, but yet there's something very cold and competitive about it, you know? Mm-hmm. And this was like kind of tongue-in-cheek lingerie. It was almost funny. Mm-hmm. And all the people were like normal people with normal jobs that just wanted to have fun. Right. So the vibe was really fun and upbeat. It wasn't like, yeah, I'm so fucking hot and look at me and my freaking awesome outfit. And you know.
So was it all women?
No, it was women and men, and all the men wore, like, a onesie. Do you know what, like, a onesie is?
Yeah.
That you put a baby in? Uh-huh. They all wore, like, man versions of onesies. And a lot of them were, like, rockabilly look, you know, with it. Everybody was really tatted up. And a lot of the girls were very beautiful, but they were bigger women. And I don't mean, like, fat, but just
right.
A little bit bigger than what you normally see girls wearing lingerie openly.
Right.
But they didn't give a crap. They were walking around. They enjoyed it. They had their junk out. They were bigger women. And I think it's maybe more the culture is just a little bit more like real women. They don't.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm like an average sized girl. I think I'm, you know, good looking and in shape. And I went there and I was probably like the skinniest girl.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm built, you know, I'm built. But it's like, I'm like, you know, I'm like a size 6'8", you know, somewhere in the middle. And I was more of the petite girl there. So
yeah, obviously, yeah.
So I enjoyed that. I was like, I'm so skinny.
Were they doing pole dancing too?
No, it wasn't trashy. It was really funny. It was actually
well,
fun.
Well, it's not about trashy. I mean, they have some pole dancing
classes. That's true.
Classes.
No, but I mean, it really wasn't that like pole dancing or anything like that. They were just walking around with their little outfits on and everybody was having a great time and laughing. And literally, I got paid to pretty much party. I mean, I had a few different job things I had to do, but it wasn't much. Like, I just had to make sure that the fridge was stocked.
Right.
There was ice, you know, little stuff like that. And I, you know, had a blast. I karaoke'd and everything.
Did you really?
Yeah, I totally karaoke'd.
And you worked there.
Oh, yeah. I was having a blast. Yeah. I literally got paid to just have fun.
Yeah.
And then this girl, she was a larger woman, and she looked great, actually. She carried it very well. I couldn't believe that. She told me she was 287 pounds, and I thought, oh, wow.
Jeez.
Yeah, but she was 6 feet tall, too, so she was just it was one
very
of those.
Big.
It was like big, just a lot of bigger people. And she looked great, actually. And she's like, yeah, something, something when I used to be a stripper. And I was like, oh, so you used to be a stripper. I was like, what was that like? Throws me in the chair. You know, the music's on. Everybody's watching. And she, all I see is, dur, 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 like she's backing her ass up right in my face. But she was really good at it. She knew how to like isolate her muscles to where like she was kind of bent over, but she was like making her butt pop.
Uh-huh.
Like, pop 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 pop.
Really?
So this big 287-pound ass was in my face. Pop 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 pop. And she was really into it, and I believe her. I believe that she was a stripper.
Really?
I believed her. She knew what she was doing.
Really?
Yeah.
So it wasn't the first time she'd done something like
no,
that.
No, you could tell. I mean, yeah. I've never really had
now,
a lap dance.
Did she actually sit on your lap, or?
I don't think lap dances, they actually sit on your lap, do they? I think what they do is...
Well, they do, and they grind, yeah.
Well, I thought they, like, straddle you and kind of dance around you and on top of you and stuff. They don't really, like, sit down.
No, they do.
They do? Have
yeah,
you had a lap dance?
Yeah, they'll grind you. No, I never have.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I mean, I know what goes on, you know, so.
No, I mean, there's nothing to grind. I'm a girl, so, I mean, what the hell is she going to try to grind up on?
I don't know.
But it's interesting because it was like, there's something about sexuality where it's not sometimes about sex, it's about power. Mm. And I kind of felt like she was trying to show dominance. Like, I'm the queen bee, and, like, I'm going to show you how to do this. And I'm just sitting there, like, all of a sudden, I'm, like, the little skinny girl in the whole room, which is hysterical. Uh-huh. And I'm sitting there, like, oh, my God. I'm like, oh, my shit, she's doing it. And I'm laughing hysterically, like I'm in eighth grade or something. And she's just all up over me. And she's not a lesbian or anything, but it was almost like it was lesbian-ish.
Yeah.
And people were watching, and I felt like she was trying to, like, intimidate me a bit.
Really?
Yeah, kind of like she's trying to, like, she put her boobs in my face and stuff, and then she was like, she's trying to feel up on me, and I was like, yeah. Okay, time out, done, done, we're done, good job, I'm glad that you had that, that's great, that's how it works, okay.
Yeah.
But no, it was really, really funny, and she was very, very good at it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
And it was really refreshing, though, because living in Hollywood, where everybody's like one, this is how everybody should look, and that's it, and that's all that's pretty, and that's all that's sexy. Mm. I mean, all these women were not your stereotypical LA look, and they were just exuding such confidence, and they really felt comfortable in their skin and their bodies and their outfits and stuff. And I was like, okay, I mean, you start to think, wow, these women are sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they're like, you know, really built and just working it and had their little outfits on. And I thought it was actually refreshing because it was just open. It was just much more like, whatever, we're here to have fun. It wasn't this competition, you know?
Yeah, but what about the men there? I mean, who were the men? Did they come with the women?
Uh-huh, a lot of them were married.
I see, okay.
Yeah.
So they were used to seeing that.
Yeah,
like,
but
big
I mean,
women.
But there weren't like sloppy, ugly, or obese.
Right, that's what I mean. I mean, they know how to see the sexy side of them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they were just, you know, cool people, and rockabilly, kind of like the tattoos and the lips and the flower.
Really? Yeah.
I think it's just a different kind of culture of what they think is attractive. And,
yeah.
But they did. I mean, you're around, if you're really just, it's really what you're exposed to.
Yeah.
If you're constantly around a certain look, that's really kind of what becomes.
Yeah, but I mean, does it really look good to see an obese woman with a G-string or something? I mean, it's
well,
not sexy,
I don't say
you know?
Obese. I mean, this girl that did the lap dance, she was 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, like, she had boobs, she had a butt, she had big legs. It was just proportionate still.
Right.
Believe it or not. I mean, I was like, I can't believe she weighed that much because it was...
Right. I mean, it can be proportionate, but
yeah.
I mean, to see them wearing a thong or something,
she didn't have
you know?
A thong on.
Yeah, but many of them do, you know?
I don't know. I don't know.
Doesn't
I just
look right.
I just felt like it was a more free environment where people weren't as self-conscious and they
right.
looked good because they... Partly because they looked good, and then partly because they felt good about themselves.
Yeah,
and
well, that's
I
all
thought
that
it
matters,
was,
really.
Yeah, it just wasn't this kind of, like, competition where you've got to be, like, tits on a stick.
Yeah.
You know, those girls should really rethink wearing a G-string, too. When you don't have any ass to swallow it up,
mm-hmm.
if you're putting a G-string on and your butt cheeks aren't swallowing up that G-string, you maybe need to, you know,
yeah.
wear something else. I'm serious. They've got to have some audacity to walk around with their bones.
Yeah.
You know?
I know some girls are really skinny. If you look at their legs and stuff, I mean, they look like little girls' legs.
Yeah,
you know?
I've been to parties where they have burlesque dancers, and now typically burlesque is more of a curvy-sized
right.
woman and just a natural-built woman, right?
Right.
Well, out here, it's become more and more like these tiny, 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 tiny women with either no boobs or implants. And, you know, they'll put these girls on display, and one girl was wearing, like, very skimpy bottoms where her, you know, you see her butt. She didn't have an ass.
Really?
And I think, why is she on display as trying to be erotic and sexy to everybody when she's hasn't, you know, like, what are we promoting here?
Right.
She's nothing about her body is offensive. It's completely tiny and not just petite, but like no muscle, no body, no
right.
fat, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Some people like that.
Yeah, I
Some
think they're pedophiles,
like that, you know?
So, yeah. I think that's what we call pedophiles. Yeah. I want you to basically be tiny and not exist. I want you to be like, less is more.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm wondering, maybe people do that because the camera adds a few pounds.
Well,
you know?
Absolutely. I mean, the whole industry is so crazy. It's really is unhealthy. And it does. I mean, you have to take that in consideration when you're doing work. I have so many beautiful friends that are constantly not able to enjoy the fact that they're beautiful because they always have to lose 10 more pounds, you know, and it's...
Yeah.
Like, when does it end, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe it doesn't.
Maybe it doesn't end.
Maybe it doesn't, you know?
Yeah, it's a lifetime thing, I think, the preoccupation with weight and food.
Yeah. And I understand. I mean, I'm no exception. I mean, I have to take care of my body, and I have to make sure it's relatively in shape and, you know, everything. But I also realize that there is an unattainable thin beauty that I'm never going to have. And I feel like the more that I've just accepted that, I'm really... able to enjoy the way I look and feel beautiful and sexy.
Right.
Because it really does rob people's brain and rob their, you know, I've heard it say, like, you know, comparison is the thief of joy. Mm. It's when you're constantly, you know, do I measure up and looking at everyone else, you're not able to appreciate what you do have because you're always looking at what you don't have.
Right.
You know, and life passes you by that way.
Yeah, and it's pointless to look at other people because everybody here is on a different journey, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I sometimes liken it to driving on the freeway, and everybody's going at a different speed. Everybody's got a different car. Everybody's going in different directions. Mm-hmm. And that's how life is, you know? You can't go and envy someone else because that's their journey, you know?
Yeah.
You're on your own, and you need to find your path, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I strongly believe that, you know? And, you know, if people choose to live that way, then that's what they do.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, though.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Well, let's take another break. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Above and beyond, above and beyond. break the internet. Two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Kara in the morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
And we're back.
I had a crazy dream.
You did?
Yeah, it wasn't about sex, don't worry.
Oh, I was looking forward
to
that.
I know. No, I had a dream that we were about to have a huge earthquake, and I knew it.
Uh-huh.
Like
you knew it in advance.
Yeah, I knew it, and I was in it, and I knew what I knew I needed to get out of California and get out of LA, but I couldn't. I couldn't. Didn't have enough gas money. And I was like, can somebody give me some bucks for gas? No, we got to get out of here. It's going to have a... You can hang out if you want, but I need to get out of here. I'm going back to Texas. I need... Anybody have some gas money I could borrow? But
wow,
a huge,
that's
no,
funny,
and I couldn't find any gas money, and I was, like, running around on empty, and I was like, damn.
Yeah, so you couldn't get away in time.
Yeah, it didn't happen, though, in my dream.
Dreams happen that way. They're frustrating, you know? Sometimes you try to get somewhere or try to get something, and something happens on the way, and you don't.
Yeah, I know people that are really into their dreams. I kind of look at it like, you know, unless it's clear and, you know, I'm not a dream interpreter.
Yeah.
So.
But apparently we need to dream in order to get the rest that we need.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, when you have REM sleep and stuff, you know, that's like when you're rapid eye movement.
Yeah.
And that's the time when we dream.
Well, apparently we dream every night. I mean, if you're sleeping.
Right.
But we just don't remember all the dreams.
Right.
Yeah.
Usually you remember the one that goes on right before you wake up, I think. If you awake in the middle of the dream, usually I'll remember that. You
know? I've had a couple dreams in my life where it feels real.
Mm-hmm.
Like it felt like I was there.
Right.
And there's just a few times with those kind of dreams. I wonder what that stuff means.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? You know, I happen to think, I mean, there's so many theories about dreams and all that stuff, you know. I just think, you know, what happens is... you know, everything that goes in your head and stuff, all your fears, all your concerns, all this,
just
comes out, you know, because you're not really controlling your thoughts at that point.
Yeah.
And it's just like all big salad, fruit salad.
Yeah, it is a big fruit salad. Well, I had a weird fruit salad. I had a sex dream about my friend's husband. I'm close to really.
Really?
Tell
Let's
me.
Hear about that one.
No, I mean, we're all really close, and I had a sex dream about him, and... I woke up like, I felt so bad. I felt guilty. I felt bad. But in the dream, I knew it was wrong. I didn't like it, really. It just kind of happened or something. It was one of those, like, oh, we shouldn't do this, and we started doing it. Mm-hmm. And I woke up. I was like, And I usually see them, you know, a few times a week, and I was supposed to go over their house, and I was feeling all, like, weirded out. Like, I don't want to see him. Because he's like a brother. It's not like...
Did you ever tell him?
Well, I'm there, and it's just my friend and I, Krissa, you know, was on the show.
Okay.
And I was like... Okay, so I got to tell you something. I said, I totally had a sex dream about your husband.
Really?
And she started laughing. I said, I feel so gross. And she and I understand what that means. It's usually when you have a dream, sexual dream about somebody, it's not about sex. It's a desire to know the person.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just more about, like, who are they? What's up?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. So I was like, don't tell him. Don't tell him. As soon as he walked in the house, she's like, hey, Matt, Kara had a sex dream about you. And he was like, ah! And I was like, ah! And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go now. I didn't want to look at him. So weird.
Yeah,
but no, they're like brother and sister to me.
Yeah,
but I don't know, have you had weird sex dreams about people, like your grandma or something weird, and you're like, oh damn,
no, not my grandma. I can't say that, you know. I mean, I've had sex dreams of my share of sex dreams, but no, I mean, I don't think it was ever about, you know, weird people or anything.
No, it wasn't like a weird connection.
Yeah, it's often with strangers, I think. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, or people I used to know in the past or something, you know.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Like the past relationships?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Something like that, or women I knew in the past and stuff, so.
Oh, I hear you.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I remember, I mean, when I was 20 years old, I let go one of the most beautiful girls that I've seen in my life.
Oh, yeah?
And she was from Texas, too.
Oh, really?
From Lubbock. And... she was drop-dead gorgeous, you know, like these Texas cheerleaders and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was 20. She was 20 also.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked together at the... I was a telephone operator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back then in the 70s, you wanted the operator, you dial zero, and there was a real person there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so that's what we did, you know, sit with your headsets all day. And you can imagine it got to be a repetitive job, kind of boring and that... But the nice thing was that I and a few of like maybe about four guys and 400 women working in the same place, you know? So, I mean, we got a lot of attention, you know, and married women, single women, all that stuff. So, so I started going with her and stuff, and I don't know, it was, she was so beautiful that I was afraid to sort of lose her, although we weren't really going out, you know, so I preferred to be like friends and frame it as friends. And, you know, my, my self-confidence at the time was in the shit, you know?
Oh, really?
I mean, you know, so I felt, God, she's too beautiful for me, you know? And so I never defiled her. And
You mean had sex with her?
Yes.
Is that like, is that considered defiling somebody? Having sex with
I don't know. It sounds
screwing
good.
Screwing them up.
Yeah.
It gives it you more power good. Than you, yeah. you have, really. But anyway, continue.
No, it's not about power at all. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not like...
So you guys never had sex, and you really liked her.
Right.
But then...
And, you know, to this day, I'm wondering. I mean, I kissed her and all this stuff, and I was 20 years old. I had had sex before, so what's the big deal, you know? So, but I think after a while, she just probably thought, well, he's not serious about... relationship or anything, so we stayed friends, but she met another guy, and you know, that was like devastating for me. But to this day, I don't forgive myself for letting that one go. You know, that was just like, I mean, I was like so enamored with her that it's not even funny, you know. But then you realize also, when you're with a beautiful woman, with a very beautiful woman, that you got to look out for people, because everybody's after her. You know, it seems.
That's interesting, yeah.
People don't give a shit, yeah.
I guess every man's different. Like, I've been with guys that they are attracted to me, but then they don't want me to dress a certain way because they feel uncomfortable in public. And then I've been with guys that, like, the last guy I dated, he's like, if any time, I mean, we went to meet his parents at a church function, and I had on a top that was high neckline, and he was like, what are you wearing? He's like, I feel like you've got like Fort Knox around your chest. What's going on? I'm like, it's called church and your parents. That's what's going on. He's like, I don't like it. Did you put on a different... I was like, no, like, it's not appropriate. But he likes the girl. He likes like feminine and like super,
yeah,
you know, girls cleavage and stuff like that. Yeah. He likes that, and it doesn't... Yeah.
Well,
it doesn't
who
make
doesn't?
Him... Well, I mean, some guys just feel, I guess, a little bit more, if the girl's going to bring attention, some guys like that, and it makes them feel, you know, proud, and then some guys feel insecure with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't want other people looking at them that way.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
So now I just do what I want. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, when I was single, I rarely would make a move at a woman and stuff, you know? So, it's just because I never had enough confidence, I think,
yeah,
to approach women. Because I guess, you know, when you're young and you get rejected and stuff, it kind of stays with you, you know. And that's one thing about men that's not easy is going after women, you know, because you're putting yourself out there, you know, you're taking risks.
See, I think more of the good guys and that are like awesome, cool, normal guys, they need to have the confidence to go after women.
Right.
And the guys that have the confidence are usually jerks and like... numb nuts. Those numb nuts need to stop going after women. It's because it's usually always like the whacked out freaky guys that are like, hey, you know?
It's because I think the classy one, you know, gives you some respect, you know, and they respect themselves as well. They're not going to just throw themselves out there and behave like an asshole, you know?
Yeah, but asking a girl out or like having casual conversation and be like, hey, I'd love to go out sometime or whatever the line should be. I don't know. It should be organic, but whatever the organic line is.
You see, but that's the thing is that whatever you're going to say, you already think, oh, she's heard that a million times.
But there's a level of a man that needs to be a risk taker. He needs to be able to be confident enough to, you know, be able to go, I'm going to take this leap of faith and ask you out and reach and meet you halfway because I'm a man and I'm going to go after you.
No, absolutely. I mean, but that's the way that,
and it's attractive.
That society
like,
set it up.
One of the guys that I, my first boyfriend ever, like, he asked me out a few times and I was unavailable. I was dating somebody and, or, you know, he was the first real relationship, but I was dating somebody and he asked me out a few times and the answer was no. And he just kept coming around and it was kind of, it made me more attracted to him because he was persistent and a leader and, yeah. you know.
See, I heard that. I heard that from women.
But, like, know? Doing it in a respectful way. He wasn't, right. like, a jerk. He wasn't right. gross or anything.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, what's going on? He wasn't like that, you know.
Yeah.
He was, like, very respectful, but, you know, well, constantly made it known that he was interested.
Yeah. Well, maybe when I'm single again, I'll take you as my wing woman. Or
yeah,
you
know? We'll see what we can
and
do.
You can help me with that.
But you're not going to be single again. You're married to a wonderful woman
well,
who
thank
takes
you.
Great care of you.
Now, what happened with that job? I mean, did you ever?
It never happened. His clientele is very flaky, so it's one of those things where he was still building it at the time, and he wanted to kind of say, would you be interested? I said, sure, let me know. So we had a tentative date, and then the weather went bad, and then I think that I don't think his business is that solid right now.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's going to be successful at that.
No, right? Yeah, it takes a lot more. Having a good concept, I think it's a good concept, but there's a lot of other.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah, you know? But you've got a lot good. Of other. But hey, I mean, if he asked and he had something going on, I would totally do it. I'd be great at it, too. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, I would really get these people hooked up.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a great conversationalist. I'd help people, you know, find, meet women. Yeah. I should probably do it myself. Be my own business.
There you go.
Cut out the middleman.
That's true.
And be like, look.
Yeah. Put an ad on Craigslist or something.
Sure. Yeah, basically, though,
wing
people...
Wing woman available.
Yeah, but I think what happens, though, is there's so many creepy people out there, and there's so many people that aren't... They're not just, oh, I need a little more self-esteem, or I need to understand the ropes. There's a lot of people that have really debilitating fears, and,
right.
you know, you're really getting into people's personalities when you do stuff like that. Like, some people are just, you know... You talk to somebody and they're like a million miles away. Like they're looking at you, but there's something about them that does not feel connected to women.
Right.
That they look at you like there's something weird. That shit freaks me out.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you never know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, they have a little laboratory in the back of their house or something in there.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, these people, you know, some of them are crazy, you know?
Yeah. I say Craigslist is like a flea market. Sometimes you find a really good deal, but, you know, you have to watch out.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've had the craziest experiences.
Really? Did you meet people through Craigslist?
Oh, I've never gone on for, like, personals. Hello. Right. No.
Oh, not for personals.
Come on.
Okay.
Don't ever do that.
Well, I don't know.
On Craigslist. I know people that have sex addictions that find sexual partners through Craigslist.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And, you know, it's tough. It's like they openly looking for somebody to just not know, just meet that night and have sex.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That's like Russian roulette with your... It's like a death wish, I think. Not that you're going to die, but
yeah.
there's something about it that's really reckless.
Yeah.
You know?
You think so, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, when you're going to meet somebody for the first time, even if it's for a job interview, you're taking risk.
Right.
Now, when it's for something physical and personal and intimate,
right.
you know, it's that person could be angry, could be a predator. I mean,
yeah.
it could kill you.
That's true. For the woman, it is pretty dangerous.
Oh, even for men.
Right?
I mean, sexual men, the person I'm talking about is a man.
Yeah?
And he's homosexual, yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's, but I mean, I know that he's
well,
not even...
Well, homosexual, excuse me. You know, I mean, that's...
What do you mean?
Well, it's... Oh, nice music.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah,
it's my ringtone.
Nice.
It doesn't make me stressed out when I hear it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like some kind
of... Should I answer and tell them on
oriental,
the air? Tell them they're on the air?
No, why would you want to do that?
Because that'd be funny.
Okay. Can you hear them? I mean...
Hello?
We have an important...
Oh, whoops. Let's pay your bill.
Yeah, there
hey,
you go.
I don't actually know.
Sometimes, I don't think you wanted to play that
well,
one.
Well, you know what? Sometimes I get these messages where they'll say, this is something with political stuff,
right.
and do you want to vote for something?
Right.
Or it'll be like... I mean, sometimes bill collectors... Usually it's not bill collectors. I don't have a whole lot of that going on, thank God. But it's usually like... sometimes your T-Mobile bill is past due.
Right.
I need to pay it.
Yeah, and they'll remind you.
Yeah, they'll remind you. And then there's sometimes where they'll tell me your car warranty is expired.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
yeah.
I'm not really the warranty kind of person right now. I'm not in the warranty part of my life. I really don't. I mean, timeshares, warranties, full coverage insurance is not my thing right now.
Right.
You know.
So leave you alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get a freaking clue.
Yeah. There
get a
you
freaking
go.
Clue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get a car?
No, we still have one car.
Okay. Is
yeah.
it working out?
So we haven't... Yeah, I mean, it works out because I barely drive, you know. So it works out for us for a while. But we're looking, you know. So we'll see. But in the meantime, I'm preoccupied with my New York trip.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm really looking forward to.
You're leaving
to.
Thursday or Wednesday?
Well, Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still going to have a show on Wednesday. But I'm going to a talk radio convention in New York. And I'm really looking forward to that, you know.
Are you so excited?
Very, very. Because last year I didn't go and I hated myself for not going, you know.
Really?
So this year I decided I'm going to go.
Now you and your wife are staying. And TJ, is he going with his wife or by himself?
No, he's going by himself. He'll stay with family and stuff.
Oh, okay, cool. Because he has family to stay with. That's good.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It is very cool.
And is there?
Have you been to New York?
I've never been.
Oh, I think I asked you, but you haven't been, huh?
I'd love to go. I'll go. I'll go eventually.
Yeah, you got to go to New York
and live it up.
You'll fall in love with it.
Really?
It's just, I mean, like social life, going out, food. You know, I mean, you see people, you know, you get to see people. Mm-hmm. Here, all you see is cars.
Mm.
So, although people in New York will tell you they're tired of all the people that they see, but, you know, for us, it's different, you know. It's like you see people walk and shop and, you know, not inside malls.
Mm.
So that's pretty cool. And the food there, man, you know, because you walk a lot in New York and you smell all these bakeries and all this stuff that they, you know, the peanuts they have on the street corners. And honey roasted nuts, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, those are, like, great, you know.
Ooh, I want some now.
Yeah.
What is your, do you have a certain restaurant or certain kind of food you're going to definitely tear
over
up?
Over there, no, not really, no. But they've got a lot of different places there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, it's a happening place.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of New York.
Yeah. No, I know. I
had
know
a lot of friends
have.
That live there.
Yeah.
I will definitely go. I've heard it's an extrovert's dream.
Yeah. Definitely.
My only thing is, of course, I've never been there, but I think, I don't know if I'd like living there because I love Earth too much.
Right.
I want to see, like, we see mountains and we see, like, you know, hiking.
True.
And I think that LA's really, really pretty.
Yeah. And all they see there is concrete and.
Yeah. I just think that would get to me after a while.
Yeah. You're right. You're right. I mean, it makes sense, you know? Makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. We just got a message here from.
My T-Mobile bill.
No, from Arthur, actually. I can't read this right now, man. Well, listening to me, I think you're a good combo. Okay, great, great. I think it was sort of a personal. But we have a listener in Poland. His name is Arthur.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah, so he likes listening, and he sends a message to us telling us what a great show. So,
oh, his name's Arthur?
Arthur, right.
Arthur in Poland.
Could be Arthur here, I guess.
Arthur. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's
Arthur,
sweet of him.
You should call in sometime.
Yeah, call in.
Yeah, he called in a couple times, I think, in the past.
Oh, really?
But that's the cool thing. You know, this morning I got a letter, an email from Saudi Arabia.
Really?
Of a listener, from a listener that really enjoys the station, you know. So,
oh, wow.
So it's really cool, you know. I mean,
isn't that cool? It's so global.
Place.
It's like. It's...
Yeah, you get to everywhere. You don't even know where people listen to you.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so cool.
Yeah, we get a lot of listeners, you know, when I look at the stats. I mean, from. Hong Kong and China, a lot of listeners from China.
Really?
It makes me wonder if there's a lot of Americans there that sort of like look for our kind of radio, you know, for American radio.
Oh,
to
really?
Listen to, yeah, because I can't imagine the average Chinese person will understand what the hell we're talking about.
Well, I mean, unless they're bilingual or, you know, multilingual.
Yep.
You okay? Oh, that was
joking,
a good try
yeah.
to not cough.
I know.
He tried to hold it in. He was like, whoa.
I tried.
Yeah.
But no, it's cool. You know, I mean, we have shows originating in London and in Costa Rica and
cool.
in Brazil. Yeah, I'm really proud of that. You know?
Oh, that's so
it's
cool.
Really cool.
Yeah.
So the world has become really small with this internet thing, you know?
It really has. Globalization is,
yeah.
is interesting, you know?
And, you know, and all the things that end up being obsolete because of the internet, you know? I mean, even the post office now, you know, who writes letters anymore, you know? So, so they mail, like, bills and business correspondence mm-hmm. and stuff, but how many people write letters anymore, you know?
Well, even bills are, people are going green and they're doing
exactly.
everything electronic, bill pay online.
Yeah.
Although my identity got stolen. Not my identity, but one of my check cards got stolen.
Really?
They tried to make like a $500 purchase, and they got declined.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah, good for
Thank
them.
God.
Is that a debit card?
It's a debit card.
Oh,
they keyed it in, so they must have called. I don't know how they did it. Like if they.
They knew the code?
They had my info.
The PIN?
Mm-hmm.
How?
And they said that there's no way to find out how. There's too many ways that they can get that information. Like if you go to a gas station and they can put something in the. ATM pad or something
right,
that can retrieve.
Really?
They've got cameras set up. A lot of times it's something, some kind of software program or something.
Really?
They picked the wrong damn girl. I mean, because I'm not bringing in
not
the cash
much to
right
steal
now.
From.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah. Have fun. Good luck with that. Let me know how the trip goes.
Yeah. That's pretty scary, you know, those identity thefts.
So stuff, I used to do a lot of, or I'd buy a lot of things online, or stuff online. And now I'm like, I don't really want to use, I know older people that don't use any, you know, any kind of credit type stuff. Everything's cash or,
right.
And I, after a while you start thinking, well, there's so much of your information that's out there. Mm-hmm. My roommate, Sarah, she went to, and I will say this, Just Flowers is the name of the company online that you can buy flowers from. Crooked.
Really?
Yeah. They sold her information to an affiliate of theirs after they said they wouldn't sell or share any of the information. And they said that she had clicked on an acceptance. Like, she'd clicked on something online that gave it.
Right.
Well, when she was finishing her transaction, at the bottom there was an icon that said, save $10, and she wanted to know more, so she clicked on it, which brought her to a different site called Daily Coupon or Daily Savings, something like that.
I see.
And they took that click as an acceptance, and she had to fill out all this information, so she didn't fill it out. She X'd out of that window.
Right.
Well, just by clicking on that icon, uh-huh, it stole all of her credit card information and had been charging her card every month, like $15.
Wow.
For $15. And she's like, I didn't even give them my credit card information. And they claim that because she clicked on the icon, that was a consent for them to take her credit card information.
Really?
And I'm like, that is crooked.
Companies, yeah, because they're
crooked.
You're not even supposed to have the credit card information.
No.
Once you enter it, it goes, you know, into a system.
Yeah.
To the authorization.net or something like that. Authorized.
Yeah, she never got a confirmation in her email. She never got any kind of written consent. They don't even have anything that they were sending her monthly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so she's been reimbursed for most of it. She's still fighting for the rest of it.
Yeah.
Because it was like 7 months or something. Nine months.
Yeah.
You know?
You just pull a charge back on it. The hell with them, you know?
Yeah. But I'm just saying, it's kind of sketchy out there. You have to really watch it. Even if something has the VeriSign or all the different, you know, logos.
I know.
Yeah.
All right, Kira, I think we're all talked out for today.
Okay, I think we need a coffee.
Maybe we'll go get a little nap or something. What do you think of that?
I can't nap, but I will go grab some coffee.
You can't nap?
No, I have stuff to do. I can't.
Okay.
I can't nap during the day. Even if I'm so tired,
yeah,
it doesn't work for me.
Really?
No.
No beauty sleep or a beauty nap? Or
it's all at
like
night.
That. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have fun. Do the beauty sleep for me.
I will. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
you. And we'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.